Welcome to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast for women of faith in business looking to take their careers or businesses to the next level without compromising their faith. If you're ready to begin taking action on your entrepreneurship goals, learn tips, tools, and strategies to execute consistently and manifest the life of your dreams, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Halima de Oliveira, business strategist, three-time author, using the fusion of faith and finances to lead female-led e-commerce brands to six and seven-figure revenue targets annually. Ready? Let's work. Tune into today's episode, Already in Progress.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to season five of the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. This is episode 58. I am so excited about this episode. Today, we'll be talking about body positivity and using your business for social impact. So you guys know, huge fan of social impact businesses, women in business, modest women, Muslim women specifically. So I'm so excited about this episode. And today, I'm just going to read you our dear sister, Zubeda, who you guys see on the camera there, her bio. So Zubeda Abdul-Hakim is the CEO and creative director of Style by Zubeda, a luxury modest clothing line for plus size women. Zubeda started Style by Zubeda in 2013 after realizing it was nearly impossible to find clothing that fit her body, personality, and religious beliefs. There was a huge void in the fashion industry when it pertained to creating fashionable garments for plus-sized, modest women. At the time, no one catered to her specific needs, and because of that, Zubeda made it her mission to create beautiful designs that the modest plus-size woman would enjoy wearing. And I just want to give you guys like a quick you know, view. I'm wearing one of her pieces. I mean, this is how she started, so I'll let her share that part. But she started actually with a jewelry line. So me personally, you know, I consider Style by Zubeda to be a social impact business. Social impact is a significant or positive change that addresses a pressing social challenge. People who are considered plus size or curvy or othered in some shape or form experience social and emotional effects and various forms of discrimination, lower wages, lower quality of life, and are susceptible to depression and low self-esteem. So without further ado, I'm so excited to welcome Zubeda Abdul-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. So
glad to have you finally on the podcast. We have a lot of fun here. Mostly it's a, you know, prior years have been just audio. So now this year, wa alaikum salam, Rashida, how are you, darling? Wa alaikum salam. So prior to this year, it was just audio. So now we're doing both audio and video because I think it's important for us as, you know, women of faith, women of color, for us to be able to see ourselves. So it's one thing to have, you know, like a picture on a flyer, you know, on, you know, iTunes or wherever, you know, you stream the podcast. But it's another thing to have an actual video and see you in real time. So I'm so excited to have you.
Please
tell our audience a little bit more about you, and then we'll get into these juicy questions.
Okay. Today, like Halima said, my name is Zubeda Abdul-Hakim. I am the owner of the only exclusive plus size modest company in the United States. I would say internationally. Where I design pieces for, you know, the modest woman, of course, the Muslim modest woman, but I feel like we've expanded to, you know, women of all faiths, and women, you know, they may not have a faith, but they do, you know, want to dress modestly. Our clothing is designed, you know, for women that love to dress, women that are outspoken, and they want to interpret that through their clothing. I initially started Style by Zubeda with designing jewelry. At the time, the jewelry piece that was really popular was like a cross bracelet. It was a beaded cross bracelet. And I was like, how can I make this bracelet, you know, something that Muslim women could wear? Because it was all the craze, the cross with the beads, and you layered the bracelet. So, you know, I did take, you know, a little money that I had, and I had in a law pendant designed overseas. And I started, you know, my business with $50 and got that made, and then sold one bracelet, then sold 10 bracelets, then sold 100 bracelets. And initially, you know, I was like, okay, I'm just going to just do the jewelry, because I'm someone, I love jewelry. I love accessories. You know, you have some women that, you know, they buy jewelry and accessories, but I am someone that I buy it, I wear it, like I wear my jewelry all the time. So that was something that was really big for me. But then I said, well, okay, I've had success with the jewelry, but what is the bigger picture? And I'm someone, I'm constantly asking myself, what's the next step? What's next? What's next? So for me, I've always been a curvy woman, and the clothing was kind of like, you know, the next step. And that's kind of like how I started with Style by Zubeda. You know, I've had issues, you know, shopping and finding things my size. You know, when I started, I wasn't the size that I am now. I was smaller. You know, I had two kids at the time. Now I'm at four. You know, so I would shop with my friends, and we would be in one store I'll never forget, which was really like pivotal, was I was shopping with someone. I was actually helping style her, and we were in Forever 21. And if you shop in Forever 21, you know that you can't fit anything in there. Like, if you have any type of hip bone, like, you can't fit anything in there. And she was a smaller girl. And she was like, do you want to look at this stuff in a plus size section? And I kind of took offense to that, because I was like, why would I want to shop in their section? Because they don't really have anything that looked like anything. And I felt like Muslim women that are curvy, we're impressed, like, shopping in these, you know, stores that really don't have anything for us. So I made it, like, you know, a life mission of mine to design something that, you know, women that look like me, you know, could appreciate and could love.
A lot. I love it. And, you know, it's a great example of, you know, no shade to Forever 21. But honestly, as, you know, a modest, you know, curvy, you know, woman, like, no, like, I have to put together three pieces in order to meet
exactly
to make a modest outfit that I specifically, you know, can wear.
Exactly.
So, yes, honey, I agree so much with you. Jazakallah khair to everyone who has tagged, you know, people to this episode. I so appreciate you. Make sure you go. So whether you are watching this live, go follow Style by Zubeda. And if you are listening to this later on the podcast, make sure you go and follow at Style by Zubeda. And it's just her name on every platform. Facebook, you're on IG. Any other platforms you're on?
We're on Pinterest as well. We're trying to grow our Pinterest page. And surprisingly, we have a lot of followers over there that, you know, we have to really tap into, you know, our Pinterest audience. We're on TikTok. We don't post that much. I'm not like, I got to have my niece help me. Like, she's a TikToker. So we're over there as well. And everything is, like you said, the name Style by Zubeda.
Love, 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 love it. And, you know, that's something. So a lot of your customers are probably shopping for clothes on Pinterest. So that's like the perfect place to go. You can, you know, look at what you have and, you know, see how other people, you know, have styled
yes.
Actually follow you on Pinterest. So,
alhamdulillah.
Yeah, we
do have one sister. She came in and she was making Umrah, and she was looking for modest clothing through Pinterest. And she came in and she bought a ton of garments, alhamdulillah. And, you know, she left the store and she was like, you know, Zubeda, I'm going to make dua for you at the Kaaba. So, alhamdulillah. Yes. Alhamdulillah. So she found us through Pinterest. So guys, head over to Pinterest and, you know, look us up over there too.
I love it. I love it. I love it. That's right. Plug yourself. Yeah. Body positivity conversation. Why is Style by Zubeda talking about it? And why should we care? As your audience, why should we care?
I'm talking about body positivity because it is a topic that hits home for me. Me being 37 years old and, you know, having four children, my body not looking the same that it did when I was 17, 18, 20, 30, you know, it's an ever-changing thing. I feel that the body positivity campaign is so important because it's something that's going to teach women to love their body at the stage that they are. We're going to always be changing until the day we die, right? So this is the body that Allah has given us. And I feel it is extremely important that, you know, we educate our women that the body that we have, you know, it's important. My body brought four lives into this world, you know. My body nursed four healthy, beautiful children, you know. So I want to be able to appreciate that Allah has given me this body. And, you know, I want to show him, you know, that I love this gift that he has given me. And I see too often that women, you know, after children, they question themselves. They feel unworthy. How can you feel unworthy, you know, when you brought life into this world? And even if you haven't, you know, Allah still has given you this body. You know, when you have people that have illnesses, you have people that have deformities, you know, the body positivity campaign to me, I want all women to love themselves at any stage, even if you do have a deformity, even if, you know, you may have had an illness where you had to have surgery or, you know, breast cancer or something like that, where your breast had to be removed, you know. It's still, you know, to me, it's alhamdulillah that Allah has even given us life to let us live this long. So for us to, you know, beat ourselves up because we may not be quote unquote perfect, to me, is a travesty. It really is. And I see it too often, you know, with women. And I feel like, you know, in the beginning of Style by Zubaydah, it was all about, you know, the clothes. It was all about promoting the fashion. There has always been a story behind it. And I feel like Style by Zubaydah, you know, we didn't reach out to our customers and let them know, like, hey, although we are dressing you guys beautifully for your sizes, but we also, you know, want to toot your horn and let you know you are somebody, you know, all bodies matter. And the size on the tag, that's between you and me. Like, it has nothing to do with who you are and what makes you a person.
That's deep, you know. And, you know, for me, like, you know, that's what makes me gravitate towards a clothing line, right? Yeah. So what makes me say, you know, I'm going to spend, you know, $100+ on this, you know, garment, you know, is what is behind, you know, what's the story behind?
Yes.
You know, it could be, you know, the causes that you support. It could be, you know, your, you know, ethical fashion. It could be all of those things. But for me, why I shop Style by Zubaydah, why I come to your brand is, one, I love the colors, right? I love the style. I love that, you know, this is a brand that supports me. But what I also love is I love that it speaks to not only me when I'm wearing your clothes, but also the me that's inside of the clothes, right?
Yes.
So who I am on the inside, like, you know, basically to me, when I look at your brand, when I put on a Style by Zubaydah piece, it's an expression of what's going on in the inside.
Yes, exactly.
So you know my favorite piece, right? So I love the dress that you have on. The Lynn dress. This is the black and white.
Yes, this is the black and white floral Lynn dress.
Mashallah. So for those of you that listen to the audio later, go back over to the Facebook page so you can watch this.
Yes,
so you can see what I'm talking about. But you know, the one that I love is the floral. It's the floral two-piece that you have.
Yes.
And for me, of all of the pieces, that is the one that, you know, to me, like, exemplifies who I am, you know, as a person. Bright, soft, edgy, you know, so the top and the pants give me that little bit of
who
I am, and allows me to move freely,
yes,
you know, the way that I am. So it speaks to everything that I am. And also, like, be confident, you know, be okay with, you know, having that luxury you know, item, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I mean, you're bringing all of these, you know, you know, together for us.
Yes.
And so that's what makes me shop with you. That's why, you know, you're on here, and I want to support you, and I want to bring you to the BUNHD audience so that they can come over and support you too, right?
Yes.
So here's a question, because you know, it's nice to come on here and for us to smile and for us to say kumbaya, everything is wonderful in our business, we're living the life, you know, luxury, all that good kind of stuff. But has there been pushback because you're only catering to plus size women? So that's another thing, right?
Yes.
Your brand is specifically for plus size women. And I think you started at size 10, right?
Yes. Yes.
A person who's an 8 could wear it, especially their mom, right? Okay. So you're focused on her. You're focused on the curvy, confident, modest woman, right?
Yes.
Has there been, you know, pushback from that? And, you know, what do you want supporters / haters to hear too, right? What do
yes.
you
want them to know? I've had a lot of pushback from women that are sizes 10 and under, or 8, I'll say 8 and under. And what I usually say to these women is, curvy women deserve to have a space of their own. You know, we can go in Zara, but someone that's a size 20 cannot fit anything in Zara. You know, other modest brands, and there's a ton. There, you know, I feel like since I've started Style by Zubeda, there are so many other modest brands out there. And alhamdulillah, when I was growing up, you know, there were maybe one or two, you know. So now you can shop from any type of Muslim. You know, before it was only, you know, Arab Muslims. Now it's African Americans. You have African Muslims. You have Spanish Muslims, you know, Hispanic Muslims. So you can shop from every type of Muslim under the sun, but name a business that, name one of these brands that, you know, cater to plus size women. None, except for Style by Zubeda. You know, they may have sizes that may go up to an extra large 1X, you know, but I would not say that those sizes are proportionate for a true African American's body. Right? Forget African-American Muslim. African-American women, you know, we carry our meat in different places, you know. So my clothes are designed for curvier body types, not just to say like breasts. I'm saying everywhere. We carry it in our arms. We carry it in our backs. You know, we carry it in different places. So a true customer, which I believe I am a true customer of Style by Zubeda, I understand that. You know, I understand the struggle. So when a person comes up to me, you know, alhamdulillah, my garments are beautiful. You know, they are unique. You're not going to find a Style by Zubeda piece at someone else's shop, you know. And people are attracted to that. They're like, oh, I'm a size 4. How come this is not in a size 4? It's so pretty. Your stuff is just high quality. And I say, listen, if I sell to everyone, I sell to no one. You know, I make sure that the Style by Zubeda customer, you know, I treat them like royalty. You know, the things that they purchase from us, I make sure that it's something, you know, that they're going to have for a long time. I wouldn't say that those people would necessarily be haters if they're saying, hey, why can't it fit me? Or if you want something, buy it. Buy it in a smaller size. Bring it to the tailor and let them take it in, right? We can always remove fabric. You have to think about that. When you have a sister that's 300, 400 pounds, she cannot take that size large dress and make it her size. And that's something, you know, I've never been that weight, you know, inshallah, you know, I, you know, don't plan on it. But if I was to ever be 300, 400 pounds and it's the Eid, you know, I want to look beautiful. I want to. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, when sisters are larger in size, it's extremely difficult for them to get anything. And even if it's a black garment, even a black garment is extremely hard for them, which everyone knows you could get a black garment from like your local pizza shop if you're a Muslim, right? You could get it from anywhere nowadays. But if you are someone that is, you know, pushing 300 pounds, 400 pounds, you're not going to be able to get anything. And alhamdulillah, at Style by Zubeda, we go up to size 4X, which, you know, I've dressed plenty of sisters day before Eid that searched everywhere. And then they finally come to me and they're like, well, I didn't think you had anything that could fit me. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was a real plus size company, you know. So I'm like, well, I fooled you, right? Have a customer for life now, you know. And to me, being able to dress those sisters is kind of like, you know, what keeps me going. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, you know, and, you know, I feel like, you know, until you've lived it, right? It's hard for you to kind of like put yourself, you know, in the place of, you know, someone else. And I feel like, you know, with the way that you speak up for, you know, the curvy, confident woman and the woman that, you know, of a certain size, right?
Yeah.
The way that you speak up for us, because I'm included in that, right? The way that you speak up for us, one, you know, it gives us confidence to, you know, speak up for ourselves, but then also maybe we're in another space and maybe we have that opportunity to, you know, speak up for someone else, right? And I feel like from a religious standpoint, as Muslims, that's what we're supposed to be doing right? So it's so beautiful to watch you on your platform and you speaking up. I remember watching like one of your lives. So if you haven't already, make sure you go and you watch Zubeda's lives. Go watch all of them, okay? but, you know, you were just talking about how, you know, a hater, you know, came on and was saying certain things, even some of the comments, you know, even some of the comments that I see, you're talking about body positivity, or, you know, even some of the comments under the pictures. And it's like, subhanAllah, you're talking about a human being. Why would you leave a comment like that?
Yeah.
You know, there was a recent one that just happened, right?
Yes. Yes. We had a reel. So we have a new, influencer that's working with us and her name is Iman. So it was just like a brief picture of her, like walking through a corridor. And someone says, well, why don't we try promoting healthy lifestyles, you know, instead? And I'm like, it's just a video of a woman walking. And it's something like that simple that plus size women, we get flack for just existing. Like she's just existing. She's walking. It's not a video of her on her third trip to the buffet. It's not a video of her laying in bed spraying whipped cream in her mouth. It's a video of a curvy woman walking. And because of that video, it's I'm promoting a unhealthy lifestyle. You know, I've had people email me, you know, to Style by Zubeda's email address and, you know, state, well, you're out here looking crazy. You know, you're promoting unhealthy lifestyles. No, I'm actually promoting healthy lifestyles. You know, these women are plus size. Okay. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to sell them something so that they feel confident in themselves. You know, I always say, especially like to my children, if someone is going to say something about you, tell me something I don't know. I'm fat. What's next? What do you have next? You cannot say I'm stupid. You cannot say I'm lazy. You cannot say I'm ugly. Like, you cannot say these things, but yet you're going to say, oh, this person is fat. This person is plus size. Okay. Name something or tell me something I don't already know about myself, because you cannot weaponize something against me that I already know and I already acknowledge. You're upset because I'm this size and I'm not gonna let that define me. That's the problem. So when I posted that reel, you know, I kind of told, you know, the SBZ followers to like attack this person because, you know, and then there's a man, it's always a man that has something to say, you know? So he, you know, comments and says this, you know, why don't you promote healthy lifestyles? But then, you know, someone else said, how unhealthy must it be for you to have all of this hate in your heart, you know, for someone? And that's, you know, the reason why I, you know, started the body positivity campaign. You know, in the beginning, it was something that I honestly didn't want to do. I didn't want to be the voice for, you know, plus size Muslim women or women in general. I didn't want to be that voice. But it kept coming back to me. It kept attacking me. You know, it kept showing itself to me. Allah kept bringing it to me in a way that I could not say nothing. You know, I could not sit here and be a victim myself and then not speak up for, you know, other sisters that are victims as well. And it kind of like fell in my lap. It's not something that I woke up and said, I'm going to be the cheerleader and be, you know, the leader of the body positivity campaign, you know, so alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And I love it. And I feel like Allah like piecemeals us almost.
Yeah.
Right. He already knew that this is what he wanted you to do. Right.
Yeah.
He knew it back when it was jewelry. Right.
Yes.
He gave you, you know, your specific life. He gave you your specific, you know, path. for you to lead you here. And, you know, inshallah, you know, it will lead you even further into something else. Yes. But the beautiful thing about what you're doing is you've lived this. You know what it's like. The clothing that you design is clothing that you wear.
Yes.
Like, I would wear this. I am making this because, you know, you wear it. I've heard you talk about, you know, how many times samples go back and forth, you know, with your manufacturer, of how many times you go back and forth, like, this is not right. This is not fit for SBZ. It goes back, you know what
yes.
I mean? And how many times that goes back and forth. I think for me, it's important for me to know that, right?
Yes.
It's important for me to know that I'm not just talking out of my mouth. I'm also walking the walk.
Yeah.
If this garment is not quality, like, you know, for me, like, I remember the purple bejeweled dress when I received it in the mail. Did I or did I not call you and be like, girl?
Yes.
Like, this is quality. It is lined. It has pockets. There's gold beading on it. I mean, that dress is fabulous.
And
it's for a curvy woman. Like,
yes.
How many of us, you know, receive an item of clothing, maybe can wear it once or twice, and then that's the end of it. A Style by Zubeda piece, I'm telling you right now, like, it will last you.
Yes,
that's
yes.
how well, mashallah. A couple of people are in the comments. Someone said, may Allah reward you sisters for your efforts. We've got a few. Assalamu alaikum. So assalamu alaikum and welcome to everybody. So my next question is, why is it important for us, you know, or for you to talk about, you know, women of color falling in love with themselves and, you know, being okay with having luxurious things? Why is that important?
So I'll start with the top half of the question. African-American women, I feel like from the beginning of time, we've been told that we weren't good enough. You know, we're too brown, we're too curvy, our lips are too big, our nose are too big, our booties are too big, our mouths are too big, right? So now you see it's kind of flipping itself. Now you see more, you know, of the Caucasian women, they're going out to get surgeries to look like us, tanning to pretend to be us, when we were those girls from day one. You know, what they did was, you know, try to break us down to uplift their women, right? And then breaking us down. So now we're kind of like in a limbo where we're getting ourselves back. We're now starting to appreciate ourselves, but it's still like, oh, well, you can still improve in this. And oh, well, we're still at the point where our mouths are too big, right? It's still like black women, we have too much to say. We are too opinionated. I feel like that we need to kind of like collectively, everyone that's brown, throw that out the window. Because our opinions matter, you know, we are highly educated, right? We're starting our own businesses while we're, you know, maintaining our family, we're maintaining our Islam. So, you know, for the others to then come in and tell us who we should be, when we should be, why we should be, to me, that's nonsense. As a black woman... And then I see the comments, and I know
he said they even took the clothing style too.
And now they're taking our hairstyles, right? They're taking the way our dialect, the way we speak, right? And now they're saying this is not ghetto, right? They take our nail style, like everything. Now they're like, no, you know, they're gentrifying everything that we have been doing. That they were calling ghetto, that they were calling ugly. So I feel like we need to really just stand in that we own these things, that we started these things, even when it comes to hijab. Now, people may say other, but African-American women, Muslim, started Islamic fashion. I don't care what anyone has to say. We started it. Even though, you know, it did cross over, you know, because a lot of, you know, other sisters, they would wear black abayas, black hijab, like that was what they wore. And as black people, we've always tried to, you know, put our personality into our clothing.
Right. We made it our own. Even me as a young girl, you know, I've always covered. You guys have never, you know, seen me uncovered. And one thing that I have always, you know, tried to do for myself was to make my garments, you know, look youthful for myself. I would buy pink hijabs, or if I had a navy, you know, jilbab, you know, I would try to mix it up with different prints because I was a younger girl. And that's something that for me and as well as my sister, we kind of made like a competition out of dressing and, you know, who can take this one spaghetti strap dress and make it into something. So we would layer and we would wear different things and different things over it, you know. Now, alhamdulillah, with all of the modest companies, we don't have to do that, you know. We would go to Target and buy the dresses and then buy a cardigan, and it's 100 degrees outside, and we put on the second dose of deodorant, right? So, so it's kind of like, you know, alhamdulillah, we've evolved from that. Now we're able to go to, you know, any Muslim sister shop and buy something, but then it brings you back to, well, can, you know, sister so-and-so that's 400 pounds as well, you know, purchase from that shop, you know. And I want Black women to not feel guilty for saying, I'm going to spend $200 on such and such, right? Yes, this sister is selling a dress. Yes, it's $125. Yes, it's $150. I deserve this, right? I'm not going to go to mom and pop shop and spend $10 on something. You know, I'm a queen. I'm going to, you know, buy luxurious things. I'm going to, I deserve it. I work hard. And this is what, you know, I'm going to purchase. Yeah, because I hear too often, especially with, you know, within our community, oh, this sister is bougie. Oh, why do I have to be bougie? Why can I just not like, why can I just like nice things? You know, why can I go out and spend $2,000 on a purse, but then support another Black owned business that's selling a dress for $100, $200? Like, why can't I could put the same energy that I'm putting into Gucci into Style by Zubeda, you know, into another sister's brand. And I deserve, you know, luxurious things because I work hard, you know, and I deserve those things. So that's my message to sisters that feel like, oh, I'm not gonna support the sister and not just what, and I hate the word support, purchase. Don't support. You know, don't support, but I mean,
support is different than being a buyer.
Yes.
Please go deeper into that. That
yes. And I'm okay with, you know, people saying, well, repost my stuff. Cause it's like a meme out there. And it's like, well, why aren't you famous yet? And then they're saying, well, you didn't repost my stuff. Okay. Repost is great, but typing in those 12 digits on your debit card into my website is even better. Right? So, you know, you don't have the money, check out via Afterpay. You know, give a review. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to support. I'll stop by the store. I'll support and I'll buy a hijab. Okay. But purchase something. Get your Eid garment from here. You know, Ramadan is coming up. We go, you know, and I had to explain Ramadan to a new employee of mine. And I had to tell her, you know, during Ramadan, we go out every single night. You need 30 dresses. Come by. Style by Zubeda has a lot of dresses, right? So, you know, to me,
I have to go off mute. I love that so much. You need 30 dresses for Ramadan. Yes, honey.
Yes, and right? Like me with the... Say that again. I'm sorry.
And plus your Eid outfit.
Yes, right? And plus your Eid outfit, right?
Eid is so 3 days.
We're going out to iftars, especially with, you know, COVID cases going down and more things are opening. People are going places. You need at least 15 dresses to go from this house to that, to the masjid, to the iftar, to whatever you're invited to. You know, like I said earlier, there are, hold on a second. There are tons of, Muslim brands out there. There are tons of African American sisters, you know, that are seamstresses that own their own businesses. Support by purchasing, you know, support your community by keeping the dollar within your community. We discussed this before, Halima, right? You know, I have four black sons. I have potentially four black men in my household. Every dollar that you guys spend over at Style by Zubeda goes to the education of a black man, to a black family. You know, so that's something that, you know, is really big in my household, you know, is about, you know, supporting your own, learning how to, you know, grow your family, as well as working somewhere where you would be hired, right? Working on a business where you would be hired. Because like I said, they're black men. They can't walk into anywhere and get a job, you know. You know, education-wise, yes, but nowadays, no. So I feel like I went like way off topic.
No, it needed to be said. It needed to be said. And, you know, one of the brothers here, Isha.
So yes, I know Mr. Isha.
Mashallah. So he said it's self-investment. And I 1,000% agree with you. And when you think about it, like when you buy that, you know, item that's, you know, a little bit more expensive, when you finally like tally, like, so say I have a bag, I have a Burberry bag that I want to say is like 15 years old. And at the time, you know, there was some zeros after.
Yes.
I purchased it. But when I think about how many years I've had it, how many times I've worn it, and I divide that, I actually got way more money, you know, than my money's worth of that initial investment.
Yes.
Then you think about the little $30, you know, rinky dink bag that I bought, right? How many times have I bought a little rinky dink $30 bag?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what
once or twice.
Listen, that $30 bag probably got two good wears out of it before the vinyl or whatever it is started coming off.
Yes, exactly.
My Burberry bag doesn't have a stitch missing. You know what I mean?
Wow. Like,
nothing is wrong with that bag, right?
And yeah.
You know, that's an older bag. And so, you know, we have to start thinking about it like, you know, the brother said, like an investment. And we have to start thinking about it. Not only is it an investment in a piece that will be, you know, in our closet, you know, for a long time, maybe even a lifetime, but also think about it from the perspective you're investing in another woman.
Yes.
You're investing in the family that she is supporting with her business. And then by investing in those children, right? These four black men that you talked, you know, these young black men that you talked about.
Yes.
What will they become because their mother is able to pay for a, you know, better education or to invest in Islamic and,
secular,
education? What will become of those men? Those men are going to be something fierce, you know, in the world. So investment. Instead of, you know, I'm going to support. And one thing that I did want to add with the whole support piece is that with the support piece is you do one thing wrong, I know I want to support you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you genuinely become a customer, you genuinely are saying, I'm going to invest in this brand. When this sister messes up, you privately DM her and say, hey, sis, right? And then go from there. But it means that even with a snafu or two or 10, you are still supporting this brand.
Yes.
How many times have you supported a Burberry or a Gucci or a Nordstrom's or a Saks and they mess up your order? Or your order doesn't even get there, right?
Yes.
During the pandemic, Mac, I ordered something before the pandemic, didn't get it until the pandemic was almost over. Months down the line, they never sent me an email apologizing. They never sent me an email saying, hey, here's an update on your order. Nothing.
Exactly.
To the point when you call their customer service or you email their customer service, we are so backlogged, we may not even get to you.
Yes.
But we come over to a black brand or a woman-owned brand or all of the above, Muslim-owned, all of the above, and we're ready to write them off the first thing. So I really just wanted to, you know, just add that on. So this would not be the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast if we didn't bring a little bit of faith into the mix. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, what governs your lifestyle or your business? Is there an ayah, a quote or a hadith that governs the way that you run your business, inshallah?
Yes. When, you know, I started my business, I started it off faith.
I was working, and I tell everyone I did have a job. I did have a day to day, a 9 to 5, I should say, you know, and I quit. Like, I just was like, I cannot do this. And I knew that every dollar, you know, that I made, every piece of money that I made, you know, was because of a law, you know, that my risk is from a law. I don't have the hadith off the top of my head right now, but, I like to govern my life that way. And I know when I spoke with you earlier, you know, I did, you know, briefly tell you that, I'm someone, I like to, you know, make my dua. I like to make my istikhara, and I like to leave it with my Lord, right? I put 100% faith in saying, okay, this is out of my control, you know. I'm going to give this to my Lord. I'm going to let him lead me to the dollar, if that's the case, you know, or to the no dollar, you know. And if it's something that I love, you know, 100% wholeheartedly, and I like to tell people, especially when you're doing your business, that if you don't love something, you're not going to have the drive to do it, right? If with Style by Zubeda, I've had points in my life, in my career with Style by Zubeda, that I haven't made money. And I don't like to tell people, well, start a business. If you don't make money, it's okay. I know that I love it. I know that Allah has given me this drive and that it's for a reason. It's not just to sell hijabs, you know. You have to think about, you know, I'm dressing Muslim women, you know. I'm dressing them honestly with proper hijab, you know. I'm attempting to. I'm trying to, you know. So Allah is going to grant me, inshallah, success through that. And like I said, you know, whatever I get from that, that's going to be from Allah. I'm going to put that in Allah's hands. Not to say that I'm just doing things with my eyes closed. You know, we got to do a plan and we have to execute it. But if I know ultimately what my goal is, if I know my goal is to dress Muslim women, it's not to say I'm going to be a gazillionaire. You know, that's not the goal. The goal is Allah. The goal is to reach people, you know, through them covering, you know, through me making dua for them, you know, through me selling them, you know, even though I don't only sell to Muslim women, but it's designed for Muslim women, you know. And inshallah, I do pray that, you know, this is an additional door that's going to be open for me for Jannah. And that's what it is. It's, yeah, that's what it is for me, you know.
Mashallah, you know, Ameen. You know, may it tip the scale, may everything that you're doing, may it tip the scale in your favor on your Ameen. You know, that's deep, Ameen. You know. And, you know, how beautiful it is. You know, Boss Hijabipreneur was created for this very specific reason. And it was created to showcase that we can, you know, live in this world. We can have the husband. We can have the children. But we can also have that business, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to take away from our faith, right? It doesn't have to take away from our worship, right? None of this is taken away from your worship. If anything, it's a part of your worship.
Yes.
Right? Through your business, you are worshiping. Like, that's...
Yes, alhamdulillah.
You know what I mean? So I,
alhamdulillah,
you know, this is inspiring someone who may be on the fence. Hey, I'm going to lose my Islam if I start this business, or I'm going to lose this if I start this business. No, you know, have your faith and build a business around your faith, and not the, you know, not the other way around. Don't build
yes.
a business and be like, all right, well, let me
see. Yes, yes, exactly.
No. Faith is the foundation, and build on top of that. So last question of the day is, what does it mean to be a boss hijabipreneur?
What does it mean to be a boss hijabi? Well, it's someone that, you know, stands in their faith. You know, they don't let, you know, the hijab kind of like define what, you know, the job that they're going to do, right? As Muslim women, sometimes people see us and they're like, oh, she has a hijab on. Oh, she's a woman. You know, she's going to be timid. She's not going to be able to, you know, do her work. Or maybe, you know, we can kind of get over on her, right? One thing about me,
I was raised by a man, you know, by a strong man, you know, and he never, you know, he taught me, you know, that men are attracted to a feminine woman, you know, but he taught me how to be a boss. He really did. You know, he taught me to speak up for myself. And one thing about me, you know, although, you know, I wear hijab, I'm a very assertive person. I speak up for myself. I defend myself. You know, when it comes to my business, I'm someone that I'm very direct, right? As women, sometimes we feel like we have to dance around what we want. And I'm like, I need X, Y, and Z done tomorrow. It comes across as if, wait a minute, she's bossing me around. She's telling me what to do. I'm the boss. I am giving you directions. This is what needs to be done. This is when it needs to be done. I do feel like, you know, as a boss hijabi, you know, we do from time to time, you know, get that, she's running the show. Yes. You know, and I'm not going to be, you know, timid about it. Khadija radiallahu anh, she was a billionaire, right? She was a millionaire. Today would be billionaire. She, you know, was the boss of, you know, of businesses. She made money. So how do you expect someone like her to sit there timid and shy and get things done and make the money, you know? So that's one thing about me that no one can say, well, Zubeda is a pushover, because I am far from it. I'm an extremely professional businesswoman. I'm going to get my job done and I'm going to go about my business. And to me, that's what I envision, you know, a boss hijabi is someone. Yes, my hair is covered. I have a veil over my hair. Yes, my hijab is covering my hair. But I am still CEO. Like, you know, I'm going to walk up in here with my Manolos on and let you guys know the job that needs to be done, you know. And alhamdulillah for this platform, you know, because you, Halima, you're able to show women like myself that it's okay to be that, you know, that wearing hijab does not mean that, you know, I'm going to hide behind my husband and let my husband sign the contracts and handle things, you know, because I've been in places, my store, for instance, when, you know, I was signing the lease, you know, the brother was like, do you sign or am I giving this contract to Adam? That's my husband's name, right? So I was like, well, it say my name on that sign, right? This is my money you taking, you know? So people will think because you have a hijab on your head that your husband is the money man. No, I'm the money man. Like, I'm the money man. So I will be signing these contracts. I will be setting up everything that has to be done. And it's about time that we do have, you know, a place like, you know, Hijabi Society and, you know, Boss Hijabi, because, you know, some women need permission to do things, right? So this is your permission slip, ladies. Go out and be the boss that you are unapologetically. Yeah.
Could not have said that better myself. Period. Mic drop.
Period.
You know, period. I know I said that the other day. Period. Had a lot. But you know, we're doing so much. We're doing so much here. You know, you with your work, Zubeda. There's a brother, Isha Issa. He's into this conversation.
Right? Yes.
He said, I believe every time a non-Muslim sees your product, it will make them want to look like you. So you're not only, you know, doing this for us, but you're also doing some dawah work, sis.
Yes.
For everyone that, you know, via the name that they come to know you because of the work that you're doing. And from the flip side of you, you know, just explaining, you know, a boss hijabi and that permission slip, right? Sometimes we need that permission slip, that validation, right? This is it right here. This is the episode right here. If you needed validation, you needed a permission slip, this is it right here. And again, going back to the Sahabiyat, right? So these are the women that were around the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So women like the Khadija radiallahu anha, right? but also the other wives, right? The other wives, these women were outspoken. They were not timid. These women, you know, in that time, you know, maybe they were talking to their husband behind a curtain, but they were letting him have it. Right.
Yeah.
Letting him know. Yes. No. First of all, we need this for the women. We need this for this. And we need this for this. And they were making it known, hey, this is what we want. This is what we need. And so, you know, this whole timid, you know, we think of Haya, you know, yes, I have Haya. Zubaydah has Haya. Many, you know, of the Muslim women have Haya, that shyness, right? But at the same time, we need our voices to be heard, because if we don't speak for the women, then who speaks for the women?
Exactly. Right?
No one. No one. We know what we're going through. We know what we shy away from. We know what we don't address, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to take accountability for ourselves, and who better than another woman to help us to move that forward, inshallah. Yeah. So without further ado, first of all, I want to say Jazakallah khair, Zubaydah, for taking the time out of your busy day to join us here. May Allah reward you for your time here, but may He also reward you in your business, your health, your children, your marriage, all of that. You know, you are a true example of we can have it all.
Yeah. Oh,
when I see you, I'm like, listen, I can have the husband, I can have the children, I can have the business, I can have it all. And so if this is you out there looking on or listening in later, make sure that you follow our sister Zubaydah. And before we head out, I'm actually going to share my inspirational quote of the week. And it is actually an ayah in the Quran. So alhamdulillah. So, O you who have believed, be persistently standing firm in justice, witnesses for Allah, even if it be against yourselves or parents and relatives, whether one is rich or poor, Allah is more worthy of both. So follow not personal inclination, let you not be just. And if you distort your testimony or refuse to give it, then indeed Allah is ever with what you do. Acquainted. Surah An-Nisa, and that is ayat 135 in Surah An-Nisa, and I believe it perfectly sums up the conversation here with our sister Zubaydah today. So please, Zubaydah, let us know, let the audience know where they can connect with you, and if you have any upcoming launches or events we should know about, inshallah.
Okay, you guys can follow me on Instagram. We're on Instagram a lot, right? We do lives and everything. So it's at Style by Zubaydah. We are also at Facebook, same name, Pinterest as well, TikTok, but Instagram and Facebook are our, you know, biggest social media platforms right now. You can shop this look and any other looks for curvy women over at www.stylebyzubaydah.com. Events coming up, we're gonna try to do the review, the beauty pop again, inshallah. And that was an event where we promoted confidence, you know, in our women. So that's one event. Right now we're in Newark. We have a storefront in Newark, New Jersey. So it's on Clinton Avenue, 555 Clinton Avenue in Newark. If you're familiar with the Newark area, it's right next door to King's Restaurant. And we're there Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 6. So that's the gist of Style by Zubaydah for now.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Jazakallah khair for being here. For all of you that are on, be sure to come back next week for episode 59 with Esma, who is the CEO of Hijabi Pop. We'll be talking about inspiring Gen Z to keep the faith through fashion. So we're continuing this fashion trend and speaking to CEOs of fashion businesses, inshallah. So we will talk to you guys soon. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
This has been another spectacular episode of Boss Hijabipreneur, brought to you by BUNHD LLC and the Not Without My Hijab stage play. To find out more about services for women of faith in business and the next city up on the tour, visit www.BUNHD.com. It is our hope here at BUNHD that after each episode, you will be empowered to have a deeper connection in your spirituality, personal, and business relationships. As women of faith, we have a responsibility to learn our religion, apply it to our daily lives, and to make a positive contribution in our local and global communities.